It's time for the Giz Whiz with Mads Maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 2077, recorded Thursday, January 29th, 2026. Your taste in music sucks. On this episode of the Giz Whiz, we are back with our CES gadgets. I have a gadget for all of the pet lovers out there. Also, gadgets you can see through, gadgets you can hear through, and gadgets that you taste through. All next on the Giz Whiz.
It's the same dumb show with Dickie D and OMG chat on your PC. It's time for the Giz Whiz because gadgets are his business. They've got a gizmo sickness, geek disease,
under pathology,
rows and rows of USBs, growing glowing LEDs. Get ready for the Giz Whiz now.
Now,
and here he is, your host, Popsicle Dick DiBartolo. How you doing, Dickie D?
I'm doing good, sir. And you?
Doing good. Doing good. I have got to ask about the freeze that has been going on and how it has affected you, because I can imagine it's been all the news.
Well, first of all, we had a horrendous snowstorm, and then toward the end, it turned into an ice storm. And I sent you a picture of, we have a greenhouse in the backyard. And when the ice part came, I mean, it's really a Mickey Mouse kind of greenhouse, but it collapsed under the weight. And someone said, are the trains okay? And I said, I don't know. The trains are under a foot of snow.
Right, right. Imagine just the train underneath this. Yeah, it's just
That's exactly right. And that's before the snow finished, so.
Yikes.
Oh my gosh. But, and it's been below freezing, and I believe it'll be into February before it goes a touch above. So it's very hard walking around the city because the snowplows put everything next to the curb.
Right.
So you have to go to a corner to cross.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Just getting groceries must be difficult. Oh, my gosh.
It's not good. It's not good.
I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that. Oh, my gosh.
But the one fun thing,
yeah,
is we got to go to the boat show.
Ooh. I bet it was warm
in
there.
I shot a video for next week, but it was interesting. I put up a picture of the Merc 600. I emailed you to you. It shows that I went to the booth. This is the Merc 600 horsepower. And I said to the dealer there, so is this the engine that they are now hopefully boosting up to 800 horsepower? And he goes, well, where did you hear that? And I said, oh, out at CES, one of the virtual CES meetings I went to was the Brunswick meeting, and Brunswick is the parent company of Mercury. And I think it was the CEO of Brunswick said that they have a prototype coming, boosting the horsepower to 800 horsepower.
Wow.
Chad, what do you think?
You were like a detective. He was like, wait, how do you know that? How did you put the pieces together?
Yes, exactly. He said, no, they haven't told us yet.
That's crazy.
So I said, well, what does the 600 cost? What is your guess? So the chat room.
Oh, my.
This thing is a V12.
Is it 7 feet tall? I mean, even
pretty much. And it's a V12, and it weighs, I sent a little spec sheet over. I think it weighs 1,280 pounds. It's like,
gosh. There we go. Here it is. Here's the spec
sheet. There it is. It's 600 horsepower.
Wow. 1,260 pounds. Holy moly.
A V12.
V12 is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And price?
Does it say the liters? There it is. It's 6.7 liters. Yeah, price. Oh my gosh. We've done this type of thing before. So I know I'm thinking like car level, and I think I'm thinking expensive car level, like $100,000?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, the engine alone, the gentleman said between 83 and 86,000. And so, then you need propellers, and then if you want
to wire it up. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. He said add another $10,000 to $20,000. So you're very close. The 100,000 is probably dead on.
And now does this also, you know, we've talked about technology that does like, you know, one motor sort of steering with like sort of integrated like, you know, tide keeping or GPS locking. Is this motor tied to that, or is it completely separate, or would those integrate together?
No, you can get that into your system. This is also a duo prop where the props, two props spinning in the opposite directions. It has that electronic anchor where you go out in the middle of a couple of years ago, Mercury said, come on down to the marina here, we'll try this new boat. And he said, you can take it out. And I said, wait a minute, it's a very crowded marina. He said, it's joystick steering. So fortunately, I didn't wreck anything. But went out in the middle of the Hudson, and you just hit virtual anchor, and tug wakes go by, and tides in the Hudson are fierce. The boat just sits there. I lined up the windshield with a smokestack on shore, and it kept the boat still in the water, no anchor needed. So it's a lot of technology.
Right.
It's also a lot of money.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Incredible. Very cool. And then also, I think we've mentioned this before, every time we bring up these big propellers or big engines, is that you'd typically buy like 4 to 6 of them for your vehicle.
Yes, I said 86,000. He said, oh yeah, go over to the formula booth. He said, they have one with 4 of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the horsepower just gets insane. I mean, you just think of, you know, 600, 600, 600, 600. You're at 2,400 horsepower. You know, it's no wonder that a boat, even though it has, you know, a lot of these large vessels will have the under area with cabins and living rooms and the kitchen and everything. And it's no matter.
Galley?
The galley, exactly. I was trying to remember that. The head, yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
They'll have all of that, and no wonder it can start moving so fast. You put 2,600 horsepower behind it, and that's kind of, you know, 4 is, you're just starting. You know, I've seen some crazy ones. No wonder they get up and haul, even though you're moving so much.
And of course, the advantage is back the rear of the boat, no engine underneath, so you have tons of storage under there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's over there.
I never thought of that. I guess if you have like an engine in the middle of the boat that's doing a drivetrain to the propeller in the back, that's all space that can't be used in the boat. Or if you had a jet, you know, boat or whatever. I never thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's why that's an advantage to the outboard. Very cool. Okay. Let's jump into some CES.
Oh, boy. Let's do it. I'm excited.
Stuff. And this first gadget is one that will hopefully let you hear a little better.
Hey guys, Chad here at CES at Pepcom 2026, and we are checking out some new over-the-counter hearing aids. I'm here with Lenz. Lenz, tell us about what we're checking out here at the table.
Thank you, Chad. So let me introduce those. So basically, they are OTC hearing aids, so you can get them online. You don't have to go to the doctor clinic to see them to get the things easy and more accessible and more affordable. We also got some brand new like hearing classics, which is not in the market right now, but those ones like are stylish and also like a very invisible and discreet for those people who don't want the other one thinking they wearing hearing aids. All of them like are pretty new, will come out later this year. Also, we got the open ear hearing aids. Which is the industry first one? So you just like click it here, yeah, and connect it like an ear clip. And very fashionable accessories here. You can DIY yourself. So this one is also hearing aids.
Okay. That is interesting. So yeah, y'all have a lot of form factors that I don't typically see in hearing aids, like the glasses and then that like over the ear, which is fantastic. And so are these glasses new?
Yes, it is new. So if it comes out like later this year, I call it four. This one, it is like in the market right now. And this one is also new, not released yet. So most of them, they are not released yet. So we just like to showcase here in the CES. So with this one, like you can get the touch screens here, which is a smart touch screen. You can adjust the volume. Also, like switching the mode, restroom mode, indoor mode, outdoor mode. Get the phone calls here. It basically serves as the app because, like, we got the app for the hearing aids. So this one could be nice. You can get hands-free for the hearing aids. That is the product. It could also serve as the earbuds, the headphone, because we got Bluetooth streaming and phone call features for this.
That's fantastic. So not only does it work as hearing aids, but you can take your calls, you can listen to music. That's fantastic. So let me know the newest products that you have that aren't out yet. Let me know when about they're coming out and about what price points there are.
Sure. So this one's like, this is the Wave. It will come out like just next month. Next month or March, very soon. This one's will come out in quarter 3, and quarter 4. So those are will come out this year. And these two are in the market.
And what's about the price point? Like, if I wanted to buy some, what's about what I'm going to spend?
That is a good question. So, like, this one, it is $299. It is the cheapest one. It's most affordable one. And this one's, like, it got a touch screen. It got a high technology. So, it is, like, a $599. This one's $399. And those graphics, they are $1,000.
And where can people find out more? What website are they going
to
head to?
Sure. So please go to sellwhat.com. So it's like our website. Also, you can find us on Amazon to buy it online. In the US, also the UK, European, Japan, all over the world.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Lens, for your time. This is really fantastic.
Okay, there you go. Clear voice.
I love the eyeglass hearing aid. That's clever. And I like the open... I like them all, actually. I like the fact that you can control it from the case that it comes in.
Right.
That there's LCD screen. That's neat.
Right, exactly. Not needing to pull out your phone to connect to Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And so these cheap ones, the case still controls the headphones, so or the hearing aids. So when you want to raise volume either in the left or the right, you can use the case to do that. And same thing with mode and like.
Oh, that's system. Nice. That's very nice.
And so, whoops, didn't mean to click those. You'd go to the case. Now, the lower end models, they don't even have an app. You just have to use the case.
I see.
These lower end models don't have that Bluetooth feature either. It's only the higher end models that'll have that in them. But yeah, I thought a really compelling price at $200, $300.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
For what's available right now and then what's coming out later in the future. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
And I missed who said it, but in Canada, over-the-counter hearing aids are illegal.
Yeah. I mean, that's how they were in America is, yeah, you couldn't sell that. You weren't allowed to sell that.
No.
And so, yeah, still, yeah, exactly. I mean, that just shows the power of making it over the counter and allowing that to happen.
It's great. It's great.
Absolutely. Okay, the next gadget is one that you can taste and hear. So we got two senses.
Taste and hear?
Taste with your taste buds and hear. This is Lollipop Star.
We are here at CES 2026 at Pepcom, and this is maybe one of the strangest gadgets. This is a lollipop. Not just any lollipop, it'll let you listen to your favorite music. Lollipop Stars is the gadget that we're taking a look at, and at the moment, they have three different artists that you can taste. And then after CES, they will be launching with some more artists. And they're only around $9 for a lollipop. I'm going to get one. The idea is that as you're sucking the lollipop, you'll actually be able to listen to the artist's music that you've chosen while you're listening or while you're eating the lollipop. So let's go snag one. Can I snag a flavor?
Yes.
What's the most popular artist flavor today?
They've all been popular.
With dealer's choice. Okay, we got the Amarani white flavor, and we're being told that we should put in the headphones to help us, earplugs to help us hear the music. So let's go try this. Okay, I have the lollipop, and just to take a quick look at it, it is 48 calories, but here are the instructions. So you're going to push the button that's at the end of the lollipop, put in your earplugs, and then start listening to the music. Let's go ahead and open this bad boy up. Here we go. This is the candy end, and you can see inside of there, there's actually a little conductive, I guess, speaker. We're going to go ahead and pull the tab out of the back, press the button for 3 seconds, and we get this little light. I'll go ahead and put this in. I can feel it vibrating.
And earlier, they told me to put it to the back of my mouth, the molars of my teeth. I did skip one crucial step, which is to put in the earplugs, because at the moment, I can't hear. It's not making any sound at all that I'm noticing so far. I'm putting in the headphones, the earplugs.
Give it one more try here.
I wonder if the microphone can pick it up.
No. Oh.
The thing that I can hear is maybe 1 or 2 decibels. Like, that's it. It's in the very back of my mouth. It sounds like it's underwater, played through a tin can, and a little string that's like not pulled tight. You know, it's like, when, you know, a little loose string. This is maybe one of the worst listening experiences ever, but very clever gadget. I if I was to describe what I can hear, it is, that's like all I can hear.
Can you fast forward?
We're getting a taste of all the gadgets here at CES 2026. See you later.
No, you can't change any of
these. You say $9?
Yes.
And then when the lollipop is over?
Disposable. You're just done.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The other thing was, is like, honestly, the lollipop wasn't such a great flavor that it made me want to like keep eating it. And I had the idea after I threw it away that, oh, maybe if I would have gotten through more candy, I would have heard more sound. But either way.
Gee, no, it's so, I mean.
You got to really love the artist that you're buying. I feel like if I could get a Taylor Swift song, you know, like maybe I would chew on that thing long enough to have the novelty of hearing the song. But other than that,
it seems like an awful lot of stuff to throw away.
Yes.
To hear a song and spend $9.
Yes. Like I don't quite understand. Also, I mean, I don't know, where would you even buy this thing? Like a vending machine? Like that might be a fun sales way to do it. But like, I can't imagine someone dropping $9 on this at a store. I'm a little skeptical of the product.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that from everything that I saw, like, online and on Twitter after the fact. I think a lot of people were kind of ragging on this product as like probably not the best business strategy. product. Okay, well, with that, let's move on to a way for pet owners to keep their pets a bit safer. If the video will load.
Hey guys, we are at Pepcom CES Las Vegas, and we are checking out a way to keep your pets safe even when the absolute worst happens. I'm here with Ryan, so let me know a little bit about what you're showing off. What is this gadget?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for coming. You're probably wondering why a fireman is at a technology conference or tech stuff.
Showcase. I was a little confused.
Yeah. So I'm the co-founder of Rest Retriever. I'm a professional firefighter, 21 years, a fire captain out of Arizona. Me and my brother, I came to him with a problem I needed to solve. Over 21 years, we go in these house fires, right? Residential house fires. We go in, search and rescue fire attack, one major gap. I was carrying too many dead pets out. Why? Not because they're bad firefighters, because we can't find them fast enough. So I ask these three questions to you and your viewers. How do firemen or any first responder know you have a pet in the house, how many, and where to find them? Now, add smoke to that equation.
And adrenaline, and maybe the biggest emergency in most people's lives. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so over my experience and time, I developed basically a three-step safety notification system. 40,000 pets die in residential house fires a year in the U.S. alone. It's probably higher than that. There's 1,000 fires a day in the U.S., no matter where you're at. The count's going up, and with all this new technology, which is awesome, makes our lives easier, it also makes it a little more dangerous. Just because heat, stuff happens, right?
Yes.
So my major thing is the concept and Rest Retriever. So Rest Retriever is this. Notification. Decal comes with the Rest Retriever. Put this on your window, front door. Why? Because as a fireman, we come up, stretch a hose line, we mask up at the door. Guess what gets our attention and reflects off my Code 3 lights? Our Rest Retriever decal. You put your pet total on the decal. Now, you've already told us you have pets in the house. How many? Now it's up to the location. Also notifies you have a Rest Retriever in the house. So our brand, this paw, I want it to be known. You see this? That means somebody's in there that wants their pet rescued, no matter what. They want them out. So that notifies us then. Then we go interior. This is Rest Retriever. This is a smoke detector. Same ones on your ceiling, right? This doesn't go on your ceiling. It goes low. Low to the ground. Why? Because as firefighters, we come in, we can't see either. All the heat's up here. We got to go low, right? That's how we search for humans, you guys first. We go door, door, door. Well, I developed this. When smoke hits this and activates it, all it does is strobe, just like that. So when smoke activates it, you're telling us where to go. Now you're taking ownership, saying, I need you at this door, at this bedroom, at this bathroom. Because we'll have to go door, 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 search for anything, right? So I wanted to give the residents, the pet owners, to build a community of responders to say, I know where my pet hides. Most people don't. They're already hiding before we get to the fire because the smoke detectors on your ceiling is like a
tornado. That scares them.
Yes. You guys know, everybody knows out there, a pet owner, they hate it. They're by your side or vice versa. So they're already trying to hide, especially when you're not home. And this is just a notification that you leave behind for us at the front door, on the inside. We're here at Pepcom CES. We're launching FireTag. I wanted to improve it even more because you're going to field questions, especially as a gadget guy.
Yes.
So we're going to optimize it even more because I don't want to ever miss again. I don't want firefighters around the world to ever miss again. So. Yes. Rest Retriever is going to activate just like that. This is the test button, just like a normal smoke detector. We optimized it, so we have a collar attachment that we'll be launching soon with our Generation 2 Rest Retriever. Our original Rest Retriever right now, $39.99. It's affordable. It's got a five-year lifespan. Battery's already in it. I want set, ready to go.
I love that it looks like it clicks right onto a cage.
Yeah, right here.
So if you're someone who crates your animal and they're in the crate normally while you're away from the house, that's a fantastic way to just attach it right there, and then in case of the worst, you have the light right on it.
You know why I made that? Because those pets need rescue. They can't get out.
They can't go anywhere else. And, they're in their crate. How can people find out more information?
Most of this, people don't know about. That's why I'm here, too. Education, awareness, home safety, teach your kids this. I've taught my 4-year-old the same thing. If I'm at work for 48 hours, grab a retriever with Hazel if you guys can't get out. The fireman will find you because it will be strobing. There's no other way to find you. But find it on Amazon. If you want more information on how it operates, works, questions, because people always say, where do I put it? It's up to you as a pet owner to know where they hide. If they're always by your side, that's okay. What I tell people, close the door to a room, set the smoke detectors off, film them, see where they go. That's where you kind of know where they seek refuge. But 99% of the time, they'll go to where they know their parents will find them, in your bedroom, somewhere safe, because they will wait for you.
Scary and incredible at the same time. Hey, thank you so much for your time. This is fantastic to learn about, and so we'll see more of it all around.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, rescue retriever.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I really
and
like
and
that.
And it's interesting that the strobe should be down low because the firemen can't see up high.
Right. And I like that it doesn't make any extra noise when smoke detectors go off in my place, the animals do. They freak out. And so if you're putting that where they would normally hide, you don't want that freak out noise right next to it, right next to where they would go. And I did think it was very interesting. You kind of have to think about, like, where will your pet go that you would need to draw the attention of firefighters. And if you're someone who crates their pet, obviously, that makes a lot of sense. so you go, rescue retriever. Pretty cool. I like it. So you can see, like, put it under the bed where a cat would be. It's a pretty good idea. Now, you were mentioning that you also saw a similar product.
Yes, when I first went looking for it, I thought, oh, this looks slightly different than the one in Chad's video.
This was the real
one. So this is the one. This is on Amazon. This is the one that fireman was talking, fire captain was talking about. But then right next to it, they have this. But it's just a smoke detector that makes a loud noise, but they put a dog's paw print on it.
Literally. It's like that. Yes, it really is the cut corners version, where it's just the same old fire detector that'll make a sound just with a sticker. It doesn't even look. Yeah, it looks like just a sticker. They just stuck a sticker on it.
Yeah, I'm sure that this one probably makes noise.
Right. No, I would.
Yeah,
I don't.
Audible alarm. So this is.
I just don't trust this one at all. I don't know.
At all. Yes, at all.
Exactly. Yeah. I would get the rescue retriever. There you go. Okay. I mentioned that there were gadgets that you could hear, taste, and see through. So to deliver on that, let's check out this next gadget.
Hey guys, Chad here at Pepcom CES Las Vegas 2026, and I'm checking out some brand new sunglasses that have a lot of tech features built in. I'm here with Stefan, who is actually an NBA All-Star. You actually, Georgia Tech is actually how I know you. Yes, literally.
Go Jackets.
So very honored to be talking to you right now. So let us go, walk me through. What do you have here at the table?
Okay, so these are Dragon right here. We have basically liquid crystal is laid on top of the glass. And when we lay the liquid crystal and run electricity through the arms, we're able to change the tint.
Holy moly. So I don't know if this is coming through on camera or not, but you can actually change how much you can actually see through these glasses live while you're wearing them. And it changes. You can see it. I can see it. That's incredible.
And these right here, these are the Lion City, this version right here, we can Bluetooth, so you can listen to your music, you can talk on your phone, and you can also change the tint on these as well. So these change.
That is really incredible. That is really cool. So those are Bluetooth, and then there, you have a few others that are just a liquid crystal. Yeah, you got a whole variety.
We got all
some
of
shields.
This right here. I like these right here. These are the new snow goggles. You can see these right here. So you can see my finger. Then it goes out.
That is incredible.
So that's going to be pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So this
and even, I'm going to reach over you. Do you mind handing me those ones, the colored ones? I was checking these out earlier.
Yeah, these are blue light. Yeah, these blue light blocking right here.
So not only the tint will change a bit, but the color, if I can make it, oh my gosh, it's now much more redder. Oh my gosh, it's clear. And there you go.
Yeah, this is for blue blocking right here. Right? Biohacking lens.
So do you know the price points or where can people find out more?
$385. The blue light is, what's blue light? $485 for blue light. That's pretty much the range. $285 for the music shield. That's with, you know, you could, those are the more sporty style. You could block out the 0.1 seconds. A lot of people like those for riding the bike, marathons. Pretty cool.
Very, very cool. Where can people find out more information?
Camelot.com. Camelo. Camelot.com. Make sure you get it right. Camelo, not Carmelo. Camelo.
Camelo, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you around Vegas.
Peace.
Camelo. Not Camelo. Camelo. I thought it was really cool. I can definitely see the use case of either walking inside or even if I was on a run, sometimes there's bright areas and shaded areas. And in the shaded areas, you know, lowering the tint a little bit is absolutely something that I'd love to do. And then I went by their booth later, so I showed a little bit of footage, but they had it all set up on a car and they had, you know, a few displays and things set up as well. So they're kind of like using the technology all over the place. So there you go. Definitely.
So the cheapest was $279, was it?
Yeah. On their website, there's one for $179. That's like,
oh, okay.
That basic one. And then, yeah, you can kind of get a good idea of the prices here. Those blue light ones are the like very expensive. They're like new. But yeah. And then I really like the goggles as well. I thought that the goggles was really cool. Really, really cool.
Yeah, very interesting.
There you go. So, with that, I believe it's time for us to take a look back at Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
They're geeky and they're goofy. Together they are loopy. When gadgets pass away, he takes them out to play in Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
All right, so this gadget is so old, we're going back to BC. Okay, BC. Do you know what BC stands for?
I think I do. Before Chad.
Before Chad, exactly. I believe it was CES 2012, 14 years ago. To take a look at Spare One. What made me think of this was last week you did the phone that might be a carry. You might have two phones with you. You could
right the communicator.
Yes, the communicator. Clicks. Okay. Yes. Exactly. And this was sort of that idea that you would have a spare phone for emergencies. But Leo, I'm talking about it. To Leo Laporte.
Here we go.
changes clientele.
Yes, exactly.
All right, moving along, it's time for our third gadget of the day.
Gadget. A very, very different kind of phone. A phone that hopefully you'll never use, okay?
Oh, I love this phone. I'm bringing this to Kelly next week.
Yeah, exactly. This is called Spare One. Oh, are you bringing one to Kelly?
I am.
Oh, okay.
So tell us the story about it. Yeah.
Okay. Spare One is an emergency phone, so you keep it in your glove compartment and your phone is dead. Has a 15-year shelf life using a single AA battery. It's the Energizer Ultimate Lithium battery, but it can take any AA battery. If there's an emergency, you pull the tag out in the back, which activates the phone. Now, without a SIM card, you can use this to call 911. If you want to make other calls, it does require a SIM card. So Verizon customers are out of luck with this. With the one,
but you don't have to be a customer. And this is the important thing: all cell phone systems are required to allow emergency calls, whether you have a SIM card or not.
So
you don't have to be a customer. As long as you're within a range of a T-Mobile or an AT&T or other GSM service provider, regardless of whether you have an account, you can use this phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's an emergency phone. You wouldn't, you know, they say 10 hours talk time. I don't think the operators of 911 are that chatty, but, but you know, well, you could if you had
9 hours. It's 9 hours for the busy signal, and then 1 hour to describe your emergency. It has memory dialing and a couple of other things. You can put in one emergency number in the auto dialer and hold down the emergency button, and it'll dial that number with the SIM in there. It's $50. Now, this is not till the end of March.
I just think that, you know, for instance, my mother, who does not want a mobile account. She doesn't want to pay the monthly fee or whatever. But I just think it'd be very handy for her to have a way to contact 911 if there's an emergency.
Yes.
If the power's out or whatever. And so this is a perfect for that. You keep it in the glove compartment.
Even for kids. You don't want your kid to be calling everybody, but all they can do is call 911.
I'm not sure, though, because my kid, he'd call 911 and say, "Hey, how you doing? What's happening?"
That's right. They would call 911 answers and goes, "What is it, Henry?"
"I'm just lonely. I just thought I'd talk. What's happening? How you doing? You want to hear some of my music?" So it's really not.
We've heard your music. It is a crime, but we cannot punish you for it.
Now, I guess, and I think if I were AT&T and T-Mobile, I might offer a SIM for either very low or no cost.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's an excellent marketing tool.
Yeah, but I don't think they're doing that right now. I think it's just, you know, it's you can use it for 911. Or if you have a SIM. But I don't understand why you would even do that, because you'd be paying.
Well, look at that, Chad.
I still find that pretty fascinating is to have a phone that has cell connectivity but is only relying on the emergency network, basically. I think that's amazing.
Yeah,
I think
but you know, we just missed it because it was 14 years ago. So you only have one more year in case you bought one of these to use it, because the battery was a 15-year battery.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was a clever idea, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Not available now. Just type in.
No.
Does anybody
have SpareOnePhone.com?
Are they still there?
No, this is like, I think some weird website. I don't know. They bought it, and I don't think this is anything. I don't think this is anything. If I went to the product page, it was like a 404 thing. Try Spy app.
Oh.
I have no idea. Yeah, who knows what that is anymore.
But, you know, basically now any phone you have lets you call 911.
Yes. And you can just buy a phone for very cheap at most Walmarts nowadays. Or really anywhere, Best Buy or any electronics store.
That would have a SIM.
Yeah, a lot of prepaid phones, you know.
As cheap as $50?
I think so.
Oh, those are burn. That's what they call burner phones.
Yeah, burner phones. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just did a quick search for prepaid phone, and here's the View S for $30. Now, I don't exactly know if that's $30 with a plan. Looks like it's just a $30 phone. Yeah, it's just a $30 phone for no plan. Add to cart. Yeah, I mean, cell phone. I don't understand how cheap cell phones are nowadays. I just don't understand it. But yeah, that would be, I guess, track phone. And maybe it may be locked into track phone.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. You know, you might have to use track phone, but this would be able to call 911.
Yeah.
And this would be able to also connect to Wi-Fi, you know.
That's a know, huge
if you just, you know, if you just wanted basically an iPod Touch that connects to Wi-Fi and you could sign in to, say, Spotify and use, if you're a pro user, you can download tracks, you know, and there's plenty of app. I mean, Amazon, you know, you could download an album and then listen to it offline. For $30, you know, it's like, it's incredible. And this, you know, you do your banking, you answer emails, all of it, $30.
We've come a long way in 14 years.
Exactly. There's one at Dollar General for $20. That's right. A $20 phone. It's also a track phone.
Prepaid. Oh my gosh.
You can buy a $20 smartphone. I mean, it's just crazy.
Wow.
It's just crazy. Probably not the best phone, but like, here's the Moto G. I don't remember when. I wonder if this is an updated Moto G. Because the Moto G I'm thinking of came out forever ago. 2024. So it's, and that's not the Moto G I'm thinking of, but there you go, $30 phone from Motorola, a slightly known company. There you go.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. That's what did the one phone in, or the spare one.
The spare one, yeah.
The spare one. With that, thanks, Leo, for the commentary. With that, let's head to the letter. We count the letters, your lovely letters. We count the Gizwiz letters now.
Our letter is from Mo, who finds neat stuff, and Mo says, "This is beyond cool. I want this in my car. Does Chad have this already?"
Ooh.
And there's a little 1 minute video.
So this is from Tesla, and this is their actually smart summon feature that is leaving a parking space completely unattended, driving through the parking lot with cars, shopping carts, people with shopping carts, a few of them, it looks like a Costco, and navigating its way without human intervention over to the front of the store.
You know, Mo said he likes it because you would just go out and to the parking lot and summon your car.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're not on a highway or anything, you think there are less rules and regulations?
So, yes. So, my car actually does this. My car can do this.
Your car has this?
It does. So you cannot do this feature on public roads. So before you start up, it'll check to see if you're in not a public road, which is basically parking lots or private property. Sometimes there's some glitches where a road will be labeled as a public road that's like in front of a business, even though it's still in a parking lot. And so sometimes it won't let you in that situation where they've labeled it as a public road, even though it is a parking lot. But yeah,
have you ever done it?
I have. I did it.
You have?
Yeah. Just the other week I did it, and I've done it often. Doesn't work super great. What's funny is it doesn't work super great in the rain, which is when you kind of want it the most. And it'll kind of throw up errors and kind of say, oh, I don't like what I'm seeing here. Now, my car is now at this point an older model of the Tesla Model 3s. And so the newer ones have faster computers and things like that. So they may do a few more features than mine, but mine still can completely just do that. And what's really nice is the user interface in the mobile app while you do it. The way that you actually call up the car, so you go to your mobile app and you say smart summon to me, and it'll show like a map, like a 2D map. And right when you say summon, you have to, it's like a dead man switch where you have to click it and keep holding it. So if you take your finger off, the car will stop and brake. And as you're holding it, it'll show you a live video feed out of the front, the back, and the two sides of the car. So in this video that we watched, it showed a top-down view. They must have had like a drone, and that was just for this video.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You don't get that nice of footage. But you do see the video feed of the car. So you can, you know, watch it and make sure that it's not, you know, there's not like a child that it didn't detect or something like that.
That's pretty amazing.
It's really nice. It really is. It is slow. That is something. It's kind of like when you auto park a car and it's like, I could park this car faster if I just You know, so it is a bit slow. But still very impressive. You do feel like Batman with the Batmobile.
I can imagine.
Like coming up to you. It's very, very, impressive. Have you seen what they're doing with the cyber cab in Austin and what they're hoping to do?
No.
So Tesla is doing driverless vehicles in Austin at the moment. At the moment, it's still their Model Y, and so their van vehicle that you get in, or SUV, they're driving around and delivering people just like a taxi, but with no one in the driver's seat.
Oh, okay, I did see that.
Yeah. And their hope is to, at that factory in Austin, that's like near Bastrop, is to develop and make the Cyber Cab, which is a completely new vehicle that doesn't even have a steering wheel in it. It's a two-seater vehicle, and the doors open like super duper weird, like a Lamborghini. The robo taxi. Oh my gosh, I called it the cyber cab, the robo taxi.
Wow.
Let's see the vehicle. I guess they're not showing the vehicle because, at the moment, the robo taxi is. Oh, I guess they're two different products. This is why I'm confused. The cyber cab is the vehicle. The robo taxi is
Cyber cab is Tesla. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But this is the vehicle, and it'll open, you know, those crazy, crazy doors. And then the seats and everything, like there you go. You don't have a steering wheel at all. You're just sitting in there and trusting.
Oh my gosh.
Trusting the vehicle to go. And the seats are kind of designed like they even remind me of like public access, you know, vehicles, or the seats are a little bit more flat, in like one type of leather, you know. But yeah, that's what it'll look like. And so you could just order that from your phone and then it Do you want to do that? If you need to go to the airport, order one of those to pick you up in New York and then take you driverlessly to the airport?
Wow, I don't know about that.
Would you
Holy
trust it?
Holy cow.
Yeah. I'm excited because I think it'll be really, really cool if they pull it off. They're getting better and better with their self-driving cars and autonomous vehicles, and it's getting crazy.
You have to worry that a hacker's not going to say, "Send me somebody's car. Send me Chad's car."
Exactly. I hope this one has the newest update. Yeah. Scooter X says, what happened to the Tesla Roadster? So this was their like super fast vehicle. They had announced it and it kind of got labeled as the 2020 Roadster. Well, it's 2025 and the Roadster does not exist. And Elon keeps teasing about it, and what I suspect is happening is they keep adding more features and then not releasing the car. And the most recent thing I've heard is that they're adding like vacuum like turbines to the car to force the car down. And so it will basically have like, you know, downward momentum, even if it's just resting, if it's just sitting still. They're like forcing the car to have downforce, so it would allow faster 0 to 60s. Recently saw a concept vehicle that had this a similar technology that, you know, it was obviously that concept vehicle's technology, but it was getting me thinking. And the demo they did is they parked the car on it. On this gantry, and then they flipped it completely upside down, and it looked like it was like Men in Black, you know, when the car is driving on the ceiling in Men in Black. It was like that, but the car was sitting still because it had so much downforce that you could literally turn the car upside down and the car would stick to a ceiling. It had enough downforce. Not the Tesla thing, and Tesla stuff hasn't even been announced, but that's my theory, is they keep thinking, huh, this car would be crazy if we did this. So let's put that in there. Because I've heard him talk about like cold air jet turbines before about the Roadster. And I was like, how on earth is that going to work? And then I saw they put out a patent around the like suction stuff. Anyway, that's my thought, is they keep developing their Roadster and they're going to try to make that thing. Probably my guess is actually what they're trying to do is make the Roadster the fastest vehicle that's like ever existed. And I think any fastest production vehicle ever. And I think you need to get to like 600 miles an hour to do that. And so I'm thinking they're trying to break the 600 mile an hour barrier, which like would include new tire technology and like rotor technology that where the motor just won't explode at that RPM. Like they need all sorts of other stuff. So that's my guess. They keep going, we could make it crazier. Okay. Thank you so much, Mo, for the letter. And yeah, cool stuff. Thank you so much to our patrons over at patreon.com/gizwiz. Thank you so much for supporting our show. You support us every single episode. Thank you so much for your support. If you like the Gizwiz, consider giving back at patreon.com/gizwiz. You guys are amazing. Thank you, patrons, from the bottom of my heart. Head on over to gizwiz.tv. That's where we record the show live just about every Thursday, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern Time. Whenever we're live, the website will just update with the live stream so you can tune in and watch us. And then join the chat room just below the live stream and chat along with our fantastic community, a great group of folks there. There you can also see any of our previous episodes, especially if you don't catch us live. If there's ever a schedule change, it'll be posted at the top of the website. Gizwiz.biz is Dickie D's website, where he writes articles about all of the gadgets that we cover on the show. So if you're ever needing a link back or a reminder about any of the gadgets that we covered, Gizwiz.biz. Biz is the place to go. While you're there, play What the Heck Is It? The game show online where you just need to guess the gadget. This is the entire gadget, not just a piece or part of the gadget. And this is obviously this is where you keep your Go-Gurt when you're on a travel trip. It's a Go-Gurt carrying case. If you think you know what this is, 6 Mad Magazines for correct answers, 12 Mad Magazines for funny, clever, or hilarious answers. Get a guess in over at gizwiz.biz. That about wraps it up for our show. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.